You've read through the Gospels, or maybe you've listened through the Gospels a number of times. And if you've encountered the Gospels and the words of Christ more than a handful of times, you're aware of the fact that Jesus said some very curious things. Even some things that would be difficult to understand. Among them are seven I Am declarations presented in John's Gospel. They have the same formula. They always begin with the words I Am and then followed by some kind of description of what Jesus is like. And the first description that we find in John's Gospel of the seven is that Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And that sounds somewhat peculiar to us. Most of you have some familiarity with the Lone Ranger. Maybe he was your childhood hero. The masked good guy, you know, who rode to the aid of the distressed in the American Old West. With the help of his friend Tonto and his horse Silver, the masked crusader sought to right the wrongs in the American West, always leaving behind somewhat of a mystery about who was that masked man. When you come to the Gospels, there's always this element of mystery about Christ. And I'm hoping that over the next several weeks, as we build up toward Easter, that as we look at each of these I Am statements, some of that mystery or some of that mask will come off, and that Jesus Christ will become, in many ways, new to you and more vibrant and more real than ever before. I'd like to introduce you now to that first I Am statement, and it's in verse 35 of John chapter 6, verse 35. And the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Nearly every day, for some meal, I go to my pantry and I pull out a loaf of bread. Now, it doesn't always look like this. Mine normally comes sliced. But I pull out a loaf of bread for some meal. And I don't know about you, but I look at the bread, and when I get the bread out of the pantry, the first thought that comes to my mind is, not, that's Jesus. I don't think that. And it isn't. The bread isn't. But bread and Jesus, in my mind, don't go together. So what is it about Jesus and bread that we need to put together in our minds to understand who Jesus is? I'm going to put this here as a visual aid. You can all see it, I hope, from there. And maybe after a few minutes you'll start smelling it, and that'll be torture, wouldn't it? Well, to figure out what Jesus meant when he said, "I'm the bread of life," we really need to know a little bit of background, and that's why I took the early part of the service and read for you the first part of John chapter 6. One of the most familiar miracles. We encounter it in every single gospel, including John that we just read. Jesus takes a little boy's lunch, 5 barley loaves. Probably when we say loaves, we think of these big things that we get at the store. Probably little biscuits about this size, and a few small fish, and he fed 5,000 men with it, plus women and children. It's really an astonishing thing and quite a feat. But Jesus didn't do that just to provide bread. He did that to teach a lesson. And many of his miracles are of this fashion. In fact, you could quite arguably almost all the miracles that Jesus did say about him something about who he was and what he had come to do. They teach us something. And that's especially true of this miracle. Jesus is teaching that he is the bread of life and that he is the one that we need to look to sustain our lives. I would like to consider with you 3 reasons why we ought to put Jesus and bread together. What Jesus has to do with bread today. He said, "I am the bread of life." So what does that mean? Well, it means this. If Jesus really is the bread of life, we need to understand that we cannot live without him. We cannot live without Jesus. First point today. We need Jesus. We need to think of him as bread because He is the source of life. He is the source of life. For thousands of years, bread has sustained life. And I'm not talking about the white loaves that we pull out of our pantry today that say enriched, fortified, and all that good garbage on there. Our bread today, right, is not very nutritious. It serves rather to carry something nutritious to our stomachs. That's the purpose of bread today. But in Jesus' day, it was different. Bread was coarser. We may not have liked it so much. And it had the seed kernels in it, so it had valuable nutrition that could be collected. Notice what Jesus says in the context of Him being the bread of life, just a few verses earlier from what I just read, verse 33. The Bible says in John 6, verse 33, that for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Did you notice what the verse says? It says that the bread that comes down from heaven gives life to the world. What kind of life? First, Jesus gives our earthly life. Our material, physical existence is up to Jesus. As creator and sustainer of the universe, Jesus wills our existence every single day. If He didn't, we would stop being. He is our existence. He is the mysterious force that holds the universe together. This is the claim of Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16 and 17. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the mysterious glue through which the whole universe holds together. If He weren't being, the atoms would fly apart. We believe that about Jesus. He is the Creator. John chapter 1, verse number 3, all things were created by Him. The Word, can't remember the verse now, I'm just a couple of pages away, let me look at it. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is our Creator. Now, we believe that personally. We understand that if we've been in church for a while and heard teaching, but it wasn't so easy for Jesus' Jewish audience. At this time in John chapter 6, He's completed the miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. He's gotten on a boat and He's sailed across the sea westwardly. And He's probably landed in Capernaum, at least that was His intended target. And many people believe that this little discourse about Him being the bread of life was given in a synagogue at Capernaum. He's speaking to a Jewish audience, and at this point they're not very friendly with Him. They're not friendly because He is making messianic claims. He's claiming to be what the Old Testament promised, the deliverer, the anointed one from God. And they're not quite so sure that they want to match up with that yet. They're not tasting that very well right yet. And so they're thinking, well, way back when Moses, which was their chief figure in Jewish history, delivered the Israelites from Egypt, he provided, and that's what they say, he provided bread in the desert for them in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, if he did that, what are you going to do to prove that you are the prophet that Moses preached would one day come? You've got to give us a sign. In fact, look at this. It's in our text, verse number 30, John chapter 6. They said therefore unto Him, what sign, John 6, 30, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Moses gave us manna. What are you going to give us? The audacity of some people. He had just given them bread the day before. He'd fed 5,000. That's what they're talking about. Now they need another sign. One wasn't good enough. Jesus never caters to people's whims that way. He doesn't give them miracles, you know, to dole out at people's whims. He, in fact, He has an agenda from His Father, and He wasn't going to perform another miracle just to satisfy them. But I want you to think about manna for a little bit. Remember this white, flaky stuff that appeared outside? When the Israelites, in Exodus chapter 16, if you want to read more about manna, it's about verse 11 through 35. And I'm going to take time to go back and read all that. But they were hungry, and there are no McDonald's in the wilderness, so they need some place to feed a 2 million man army marching through. And so God provides, He provided quail the night before, but the next day He said, I'm going to put flakes of meal out there. You need to pick that up, and you'll be able to make bread from it. And it was supposed to be like, taste like wafers made with honey. Good stuff. And so, but anything good, even chocolate cake after 40 years probably got old. Chocolate cake never gets old, Jim? All right. This is true. So for 40 years they have this to eat. But the first day that they saw it, the Israelites go outside the camp, they pick up the flakes, and what do they say? What is it? What's this stuff? And that name stuck. That's Hebrew. Al mana is the word. Just, what is it? What is this stuff? And that's what they called it for 40 years. What is this stuff? Well, this is bread from heaven that God provided through Moses to give to the people so they wouldn't starve in the desert. Well, Jesus, who's just fed the 5,000 with a little boy's lunch, was making the same claim. I am the one you need to sustain you in the wilderness of life. Now let's apply this for just a moment. Our earthly existence depends on the favor of Jehovah. Even with all the bounty we enjoy in America, our lives hang on a thread. We may not be concerned for our next meal, but we would cease to be unless Jesus sustained our lives. The air we breathe, the heart that beats in our chest, the immune system that fights off dangerous intruders, the safety we experience on the highways, these and much more Jesus does for us every day to sustain earthly life. Acts chapter 17 verse 28 says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." But there's much more to this bread thing than just providing meal for people who are eventually going to die anyway. The bread that Moses prepared for them perished. In fact, in Exodus 16, where manna is first referenced, Moses was instructing the people that you collect only daily an omer for each person, because after that, what you don't use will stink or go bad. And it bred worms and stank before the next morning. Except on the day before the Sabbath. On the sixth day, they could gather enough to cover them for the seventh day, because they weren't allowed to do any work collecting it on the seventh day, because that was the Lord's Sabbath. But every other time, it bred worms and stank. So the bread perished. Hey, and even the people that ate it, what happened to all the people that were wandering through the wilderness? All of them eventually died and were buried in the wilderness because of their unbelief, Numbers chapter 14, in going into the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. So, I want you to think about this. All that bread that Moses provided for 40 years, or God provided through Moses, was still inadequate. Now, I want you to think of it this way. Your life, as good as it might be, as free of concern as it might be, as full of all the things pleasurable and meaningful, is still inadequate. Because in the end, you will still perish. Everyone who lives will eventually die. One day your body will decay, and worms will eat it. So if all you have is this life, you are woefully inadequate. You need a better kind of bread. And so what does Jesus offer? He offers a better bread. John chapter 6, I want you to see this, beginning in verse number 48. John 6, verse 48. He says again, says it four times in the passage, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. What happened to them? They're dead. This is the bread," verse 50, "which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." It is woefully inadequate then to live for this life only. If that were all there is, then fine. But Jesus consistently made the case throughout his whole earthly existence that there was more. And how could he be so sure of that? Because he was the bread that came down from heaven. He was from heaven. He said the place existed. He said he was going back to heaven, and one day he'd come back and take us all to heaven, at least all those who believe. So again, verse number 51, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. So how do you get the kind of life that lasts forever? The kind of life he had that eventually ends up in heaven? Well, he says, verse 51, the next phrase, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. So we're not just talking about earthly existence. Jesus, when he was talking about being the bread of life, was saying, I have some news to you about your eternal life and where you're going to be. He says, if you want the life that kind of lasts forever, then you have to eat this bread. And he wasn't talking about the loaf that was sitting on the table or maybe in the synagogue at that time. He was talking about himself. Now, in what sense do we eat this bread? In what sense do we eat Jesus? Now, some people think that that's a literal thing, that you take a wafer and you pronounce blessings over it, and that wafer changes, and you eat it. And if you eat it, and then you drink the cup, which they change to the blood, magically, then you are eating Jesus, you're part of his kingdom, and you live forever. I do not believe that's what Jesus is teaching here. I do not believe the passage is a metaphor in the sense that his body is being represented by, or the bread is being changed into his body. I don't believe that's what it's teaching. Instead, I believe what Jesus is communicating is that you have to believe in him. And I want to show you this from the text. Go back to verse number 40. I don't think it's on the screen. You need to look at your scripture. John chapter 6, verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me. Jesus is speaking, everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. That will raise him up at the last day. Everlasting life connected to believing. See this again in verse 47, even clear, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath what? Everlasting life. To eat Jesus is not to eat him literally. It is to drink in or to taste faith in him and take him internally. By believing on Jesus, you take him internally. He becomes part of your life, and then his life becomes your own, and you live because he lives. We need an illustration here. We need help. So I'm going to talk to you about organ donation. Anyone want to donate organs today? All right, you keep them all right where they are. Did you know that more than 123,000 people in the United States are on an organ or tissue donation list? That's a lot. Another name is added to the national transplant waiting list every 12 minutes. On average, 21 people die every single day from the lack of available organs for a transplant. Wow. For more than two decades, I've had a little sticker on the bottom of my license that has just had this little word, donor. If I'm ever in an accident from which I am not going to survive anyway, I have said in advance, you can have my organs and tissues to help other people live. In a very literal sense then, a part of my life would go internally into someone else's life. And they would live because I died. This is how you need to understand the bread of Christ. You take him internally by faith, and you live his life because he died for you. You see it now? This is what Jesus is saying. You eat the bread this way. You take him internally by faith and you live. There are some in this room who are not born again. And I don't have the magic wand. I know some of you told me that you're not born again, and I know that you have not taken the bread internally. You know of Jesus publicly. You've seen him on a cross and you know him to be a religious figure, but you haven't taken him down and drank him in. You're still not sure that you buy into the whole Jesus thing. He's a great guy, but really, let's not get too all worked up about him. But what Jesus is saying, if you want life that lasts forever, and I believe that there is such a life because the Bible teaches it, then you have to take in Jesus this way. You have to believe. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hey, if you want to live, you want everlasting life, he that believeth in me shall have everlasting life. Well, this happened for me. I've eaten this bread. I've made him a part of my life. And now I know I'm going to live forever. Not because I can, but because his life is inside me. I've had that organ transplant. I am a Christian now by faith. And my life, now and forever, is connected with the life of him who lived and died for me 2,000 years ago. So I ask you this morning, have you eaten the bread? Have you taken Christ in internally? If you've made him a part of your life, because you cannot live without him, you need an organ transplant today, and you only get it by faith. This passage of Scripture about Jesus being the bread of life, I believe, was primarily given so that people would understand in Jesus' day and in our day what it means to become a Christian. In other words, the metaphor bread of life is primarily evangelistic. And people loved Jesus in his day and still love Jesus today because he spoke in terms that people can understand. You start talking about spiritual concepts and faith and believing, that gets kind of complicated. How does the mind suppose? Hey, but everybody understands bread. That was a part of the daily diet. And if you take bread in, you live. If you take Jesus in, you live. And if you haven't taken Jesus inside of you, you are not going to live forever. This is what you must do in order to live. But that's not the only thing that I want you to see from this passage. Primarily evangelistic, I think there's more that we need to see. And my next two points are mainly for believers today. And I want you to see that there is an important lesson for us here. And the first one is this, for Christians. The bread of life metaphor helps us to understand that we need Jesus in order to live because he is a staple for life. A staple for life.
Amen.
You know what a staple is, right? We're familiar with that concept. A staple is a food that's eaten routinely and in such quantities that it constitutes a dominant portion of a person's diet. Do you know what the diet of the first century was? In Israel, this is what they ate. Bread, olives, cheese, vegetables, and fruit. Primarily vegetarian diet. Meat only came out on special occasions, celebrations and parties. We read in the parable of the prodigal son that when the son came back, the father killed the fatted calf. Why? Because a party was going on, something was being celebrated. You only brought out meat, you only kill a lamb or a goat when it was a holiday. A party's going on. So, in a very real sense, bread was a staple part of the diet for the people who lived in the first century. If they didn't have bread, they would not live. Now, not the bread that we have. We've been there, right? This bread would have had nutrients in it and could sustain life. In fact, even Jeremiah in the Old Testament, I'm forgetting the chapter now, but Jeremiah was given bread and water when he was in prison, and it was a meager diet, but he could survive on it. Because bread was a staple. I'm going somewhere with this. Please be patient with me. All right? The American Indians. Are we ready for them? Yeah, let's put the American Indians up. They called corn maize, which was their way of saying our life. And their life, in a real way, Native Americans, was dependent on corn. In a spiritual sense, then, Jesus wants to be that for every person in this room. He wants to be your staple, that your life hangs on that. So let's go back to manna for a moment. That's in our text, John chapter 6, look at verse 31. Manna. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then flip your eyes over to verse number 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Manna was the staple for the people in the Old Testament, and Jesus Christ wants to be a staple part of your diet today. When he says, I am the bread of life, you as a believer understand that's not only how I become a Christian, that's how I sustain my Christian life. He is the staple to which I must keep going back over and over and over again. Jesus Christ must be a daily part of your life. He wants to satisfy your hunger every single day. Go back to verse 35. And I apologize for jumping around. Verse number 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He wants to satisfy your hunger needs every single day. Now, here's the application I want to make. For far too many Christians, Jesus is not a daily thing. He's a Sunday thing. Bless their hearts, they're in church. And I, no qualms, that's a good thing. Maybe they even go to more than one service on Sunday. That's a better thing. Maybe they even attend a midweek study. That's a great thing. I'm glad for all that. But Jesus isn't enough to have just on a few. What would you be like if you ate one or two days a week? What would you look like? Jesus wants to be a staple in your life that you're meeting every single day. Some people's answer to this has been, well, let's just have church every day. And some of you may know people that do that. They take their Bible in tow, they get dressed up, and before the workday goes, they go have mass, they go have a service. So this idea of this daily thing gets into their mind. But you know what? I don't have to have a church service to fulfill my responsibility to meet with Jesus every day. Hey, listen, does anybody have to tell you in the morning to get up, go downstairs, and have yourself some breakfast before you go to work? No, it just happens because you're hungry. And that ought to happen for the Christian. Realize that Jesus is a staple of his life. He's hungry when he gets up in the morning. I'm going to go have a little bit of Jesus before I get to work. And I think we need to get a little bit of that passion here from this passage. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, if you want your life to be sustained daily, you need to meet with me daily, you need to take some Jesus in. Eat some of that bread. Your bread today,
that's right,
might be any number of things. You might be advancing, trying to advance your career, saving more so you can retire early, raising your kids, having a good time, or maybe something else I haven't mentioned. But a staple is something you do every day. And if you don't do Jesus every day, He isn't your staple. You're drawing your strength from something else, but it isn't Jesus. So how can I convince you that Jesus needs to become a daily thing with you? I try different things from time to time. Several years ago, it's been two or three years ago, we read through the Bible together, portions of the Bible, trying to work into you this idea of meeting. This year, we're listening. Some of you are listening through the New Testament. Why? Trying to make the Bible become a daily part of your life so that Jesus is a part of your life. Let me ask you just to think about a passage from the book of Proverbs. Is that next? Thanks. Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 8, the ending part, begins to personify wisdom as a person and talks about wisdom being around at the founding of the world. And many people believe that's a picture of Jesus Christ. He is wisdom personified. But it's very interesting what Solomon says about wisdom here, especially if we think that it really is a picture of Jesus Christ. Verse 34 says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso finds me finds what? Life! He is the bread of life! And shall obtain favor from the Lord." I think many Christians today are weaker than they ought to be. They're not able to stand up to the discouragements of life, the trials that come, the assaults in our culture, and it's simply because they're not eating Jesus daily. They're not taking Him in. If Jesus is the bread of life, you must have Jesus daily in order to live. Jesus is the source of life, both earthly and eternally. Jesus, number two, is a staple for life. He'd like to be a staple in your life. And number three, and I'm through, Jesus is sufficient for life. Jesus is sufficient for life. In ancient times, if a man had bread, it would be a bare-bones diet, but it was enough to sustain life. And similarly, Jesus wants us to understand that if we get Him, we really have enough to live. Look back with me, if you will, the first few verses of the chapter 6. I'm looking at verse number 7. Jesus is having a little dialogue here in the feeding of the 5,000 before He does so with Philip. In verse number 5, Jesus asked Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" In verse number 7, Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworth. The word pennyworth there is really denarii, which is the Greek word for a day's wage. So 200 days labor. Let's just throw out $100 a day, right? And 200 days of that. That's $20,000, is that right? Did I do the math right? So that's a lot of money. But then he's asking this question, if I have that much bread or that much money to buy bread, that would not be sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. That's not sufficient. I want to highlight that insufficiency that Philip realizes in their resources during that miracle, because they're realizing they're insufficient. And I wonder, have we recognized our insufficiency to live life? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. Too much of our lives today are lived in dependence upon ourselves rather than dependence upon Jesus. Too often we're full of much care because of our inadequate resources. We worry and we fret about where the solution to our crisis is going to come from. And like Philip, Jesus wants us to look up to Him as the answer to our needs. We can't do it on our own, and that's what Jesus wanted Philip to see. You can't feed 5,000 by yourself. You have inadequate resources. You can't live in the wilderness of life that we have today without Jesus. You weren't designed for that. You need a resource. You need a reserve. You need the bread of life. We can't make it on our own. We don't need to look deeper within for the reserves. And please, no offense if you're a Wildcat fan today. We don't need to bear down. We need to look up. Our sufficiency is of God. John chapter 6, verse 35, again, our text today says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What a glorious promise hidden here. If we take Jesus as our bread, He promises we will not hunger. He promises that we will not thirst. He will be adequate, and we will be sufficiently supplied. I may not have all the resources I would like, but Jesus is all I need. He is enough. And if I don't get the money I think I need to have in the mail, or if my spouse doesn't choose to come back, or if my family doesn't get fixed, or if I don't get the promotion that I wanted, it's okay, because Jesus is enough. He is the bread of life, and I can sustain my life if I have nothing else as long as I have Jesus. And so you've heard that illustration used before. If you're ever on a deserted island, what would be the one thing that you would most want if you were stranded on a deserted island? You know, money won't do you any good. You might need some water. You might need that. Might want your Bible. What would you say? And I would say the Christian answer ought to be this: I need Jesus. If nothing else is there, I'm sufficiently supplied if Jesus is there. What is it that you think, friend, today, that you need to have to make life work for you, because it's not working? There's something broken in your life. You need your kid to do this. You need your spouse to do that. You need your employer to say this. You need somebody, the PTA, to get out of the way. Whatever it is, what is it that you think you have to make life work? Maybe you think better health. If I had better health, man, that would fix. What I need is a better job or a better spouse. Or maybe a new boyfriend or girlfriend, as the case may be. I want to ask you this question: are you shopping for the right bread? Is what you must have cheap bread? If you get Jesus, you will find that He is enough. Now, I'm not saying by that Jesus is going to fulfill all your dreams. I believe it is a dastardly crime to tell people that if you follow Jesus, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and successful in this life. Jesus didn't live that way, and we are called to follow Him. We are not called to follow the celebrities and the wealthy of our day. I'm saying that if you have Him, you have enough. There is a certain satisfaction in knowing that while you don't have everything, you really need no more. Having Him is enough. I may not be able to change all of my circumstances, but that's okay. For if I have Him, I have enough to make it, and He will not fail me. Christian friend, you need to be careful and be warned about the temptation to grab for cheap bread. Young people grab for cheap bread, but adults do it too. This will satisfy me quickly. I'll have this relationship. I'll have this fling. I'll go with this person. I'll spend this money. I'll visit Las Vegas, and I'll be happy. Cheap bread. Jesus is the only thing that will satisfy the craving of a hungry heart. Jesus is the only one who satisfies. If Jesus then is the bread of life, the point is simply this: you cannot survive without Him. You know, we take bread for granted. Loaf of bread, couple bucks at the store, not a big deal. You know, we take Jesus for granted too that way. Like bread in the pantry, He's there when we need Him, only to be returned and put on His shelf until the next time we need to pull Him out. But if you understand the message today, you understand that Jesus isn't just a loaf of bread in the pantry. He is something I need every single day of my life. I need a relationship with Him, for without Him, I cannot survive. Without Him, I will starve. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for the message today.